Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
I got ice in my veins, blood in my eyes, hate in my heart, love in my mind.
What is up, guys? Welcome to Advices Radio. You're listening to episode number 51, and I am your host, Scott McNally. Today we have with us Jeff Zygo, bodybuilding photographer. He's worked with all the greats from top Olympians on down. He's done a great job with Muscular Development, Flex Magazine, RX Muscle, you name it. He's been there. He's got a ton of great stories and some interesting perspectives. So I think that we are all going to have fun listening to him talk today. And, you know, I was thinking about this recently. We owe so much to bodybuilding photographers, fitness photographers, because they are the ones that are, they're documenting our sport, you know? I mean, how many shows have you been to this year compared to how many shows have you actually gotten to see what the competitors look like thanks to good photography? And it's those same photographs that will soon become the documents that make up the history of our sport. People will wonder, hey, what did bodybuilders look like in 2017? And they can access these images. So when I think about it that way, I mean, what they're doing is pretty cool, and I'm super grateful. On Thursday, normally we would listen to a new episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I have one ready, but unfortunately, we're not going to air that episode just yet. Due to circumstances beyond my control, I am going to put that show out next week. So Monday or Tuesday, you'll hear that new show. So in lieu of Blood, Sweat, and Gear, I have put together another episode of Advices Radio, and this time it's with Dave Kalig. So I'm excited for this show, and I think that you guys will find it to be a fun Thanksgiving treat. You know, enjoy your holiday. If you're working, I'm sorry, but you know, you knew it was coming. Now it's here. Got some good podcasts lined up to hopefully entertain parts of your work day or your travel if you are driving to and from family events. And listen, guys, I mean, I know that the holidays are coming up and it gets to be kind of like a stressful time. We impose a lot of stress on ourselves. So try to just kind of keep that to a minimum this year. That's the declaration I'm going to make for myself. Just play it cool. And I hope you guys can, too. So enjoy this episode of Advices, and I will see you back in a couple of days.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I want to thank you, Mom. I want to thank you, Dad, for bringing this fucking world to a bitter end. I never really hated a one true God.
Welcome to Advices Radio. This is episode number 51. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me today, it is a pleasure to introduce photographer Jeff Zygo. Jeff, how you been, man?
Pretty good, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, buddy.
Well, thanks for being here. For the audience, I want to let you guys know I've known Jeff for a long time since I got started in competitive bodybuilding. He had been just kind of transitioning into photography, I think, at that time. And so it's been kind of cool. I got to watch Jeff kind of start out and then really blow up. Within like a couple of years, man, you were doing some awesome stuff. I've seen you shoot with really everybody at this point. But before we get into that, take me back. About when did you get serious deciding that you were going to make photography, and specifically, you know, fitness and bodybuilding photography, your career?
Well, I started around 08. I was working, I had a desk job right out of college. I worked for the Dow Chemical Company in Midland, Michigan. And I just wanted something to do on the side. And I'd always been that kid at the party who always had his camera with him, kind of doing, you know, taking the shots people didn't want to remember and stuff. And, you know, I was doing photography, and a gentleman opened a Powerhouse Gym in Saginaw, Michigan. So I went, and he's like, I want you to shoot the equipment for us. And I was like, sure, no problem. So I shot the equipment. Then he's like, well, I'm opening one in Chicago, so I'd like you to kind of shoot our equipment there. I was like, okay. So I drove to Chicago and I shot the equipment, and you know, up to this point, I had never shot people, actually. Families, anyone, you know, except at like parties and things like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, well, we're sponsoring the gentleman who just won the Mr. Illinois. And we would really like you to take a few shots of him. And I was like, okay, I haven't done that before. I've worked with anyone in the fitness industry, but I'm like, sure, I'll give it a shot. Well, that person actually is Joey Swole.
Oh, no kidding.
And that was my very first shoot, was Joey Swole. He was a lot younger. He was a nice Catholic kid out of Chicago. We still talk, actually. I talked to him last week every once in a while. He was very down to earth, and I was super nervous. I didn't know what I was doing. And he looked at the shots, and he had worked with Muscle and Fitness and a lot of the different magazines already at that point. And he's like, how many shoots have you done? I'm like, actually, this is my first. And
yeah.
He's like, these are amazing. You should really think about doing this. And that's how I kind of fell into it. I'm a criminal justice sociology double major with minors in political science and psychology. So I didn't go to school for this. I took a photography class in high school.
Yeah.
But that's about it, really. That's how I got started in.
In going back to, you know, I think we're about the same age, and I, you know, I did go to school for photography, but even the stuff I learned in college, it's so different today because we were still using dark rooms and stuff. I have to imagine that what you did in high school is very different than what you're doing now.
Yeah, they were still, I think digital was just starting.
Yeah.
So in high school we would do film and developing and, you know, Photoshop, all that stuff's all new. None of that was involved, filtering and all that stuff. That was just, that didn't come until way later. But there was something cool about it, I'm sure, as you would admit, being a photographer too, especially going to school for it, that working in a dark room was fun. You know, it's something magical about going in there and actually seeing stuff develop as opposed to just printing stuff out or manipulating stuff on a computer.
Oh, I totally agree. There's something real, real tactile about a true gelatin silver print compared to, you know, printing something off. But we have so much more control today. You know, there's so much more you can do. And I don't know, man. I feel like I was very resistant at first, but I love digital now. And I couldn't imagine going back. I have to imagine that you feel the same way. Just the ease of being able to, reference what you're doing along the way. And being able to kind of edit in camera and all that.
Yeah. And, you know, and big shout out to the guys who did do it. Because I think it would have been a lot harder to do industry work or guys who were doing stage shots before digital and stuff like that. I mean, or these gym shoots. I mean, everything would have had to be. I can see on a camera on my laptop connected to my camera how something looks when I'm doing a shoot.
Yeah.
Where you would have just been going on your light meters. And I mean, it would have been a lot of trial and error back then, I think.
As and Polaroids. A lot of Polaroids, which were very expensive.
Yeah.
So you started out there, and I think I might have met you about a year later. Where in the mix did you get involved with RX Muscle?
So actually, it started in Michigan. I started going to some of the shows just because I was like, you know, I'll try. I'd shot a few of the athletes and worked with a few Michigan athletes. Adam Lamb was another guy, one of the first people I'd worked with. Ben Sooner was another Michigan athlete.
We've had Adam on the show. We all know now that we've talked to him as part of Size Slim, the owner of it, that he's evolved. But yeah, I remember him back in the day when he used to be a competitor.
Yeah. He got crazy. He would always get crazy conditioned, very conditioned.
Absolutely.
And yeah, he was like one of the second or third people I ever worked with. But we would, I started there and going to the shows, and I talked to some of the promoters about shooting the shows permanently. And the promoters at that time were kind of infighting, and no one wanted, they said, you can shoot my show, but not his show, blah, blah, blah. So eventually I was like, you know what, this just doesn't make sense. I'm not going to do this. So I contacted Dave Palumbo and said, you know what, I'm in Michigan. And there's these great athletes, and no one covers, at that time especially, no one was covering these small state shows. Dave was just starting to get into it, Dave Palumbo.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? Go ahead and try it. He's like, I'll have you do a few. We'll see what the response is. He's like, I think the local competitors would like it when drive traffic to the site. And he's like, go ahead and try it. And then, you know, with by the end of that year, the next year, I was covering all the Michigan shows and expanding to surrounding states. So
And that really took off for a time, man. I saw you all over RX Muscle. You were also shooting video too, weren't you?
Yeah, I was the first one with Dave, and Dave was, he was really good about experimenting stuff. You know, he was very, very friendly and was willing to take a chance on something. And I called him and I was like, you know, at the time, all these athletes had these signed contracts.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, there's so many great amateurs out there and everyone sees the same, you know, another Branch Warren workout. Not that they're not impressive, whatever, but right. I'm like, no one ever sees an amateur and here's their point of view. And I'm like, I think amateurs would have something to offer. And at the time we didn't have resources to talk to some of the pros because MD was booming at that time and they had a lot of guys signed and then Flex had everyone else signed. Hmm. So, Dave was really one of the first ones to start letting me film amateurs. And another Michigan guy, Brandon Stiltner, was the first amateur bodybuilder that I can think of, actually, that had ever, definitely for RX, and possibly ever been, you know, like done a Iron Asylum. And Dave, let me go ahead and do that. Dave did the first bikini girl. Another Michigan lady, Stephanie Lindsay, was the first bikini girl.
I remember when she won at the Simmons in 2009. I was in that show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember you there shooting it too, man. That, so you were a big part of kind of the evolution of RX and their push toward amateur level competitors.
Yeah. Yep. And like I said, Dave was very, he was just, I think he had broken off from MB like 6 months earlier.
Yeah.
And then from there it went to, I was working national shows with him. I started just shooting backstage. I did a few Arnolds for RX backstage. And then people started to recognize my work and doing photo shoots on my own. Then Flex Magazine contacted me and it went on to MD too. So I was working, there were points I was working for all three.
Okay. So, yeah, I remember seeing your name just everywhere, you know, starting back then around like 2009, 2010. That's so cool, man. I didn't realize because I have always, I've always really enjoyed the stuff RX was putting out at that time. You know, all the amateur stuff. And it was cool too, that anytime we did a show, we knew that we could get pictures, great pictures, you know, that they were going to be on RX Muscle. That was an awesome time, man. I mean, I competed in a show in 2015 that they didn't have a photographer. They had a videographer that shot it and then they created stills from the video. But in my opinion, that's just not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and things have evolved further. So you don't have the, there's many websites have kind of failing or aren't covering the shows like they used to, just because I don't think they were making as much money off them, or because magazines have gone so far down now they're having a hard time funding it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's evolved and changed yet since, but, it was a good time. And I think, you know, my big goal was to help push Michigan athletes. And I think we accomplished that a lot. You know, we had, as states go, we had some of the best coverage.
I think so.
Compared to competing up with like California, and you know, it was just California and New York before.
Yeah.
And if you weren't there, you didn't get covered.
So. Yeah, no, absolutely, man. So you had mentioned Flex Magazine. Tell me about some of the people that you got an opportunity to meet, you know, working there and shooting at MD and stuff.
So with Flex, some of the coolest people I worked with, Fuad and Frank McGrath.
Oh, nice.
The Toronto Pro, we filmed a workout with them. I did a lot of interviews with them. I've worked with Phil Heath. Kai Green, I've worked with a few times. He's a very nice guy. One of the more down to earth pros and just very, what you see is what you get type of guy. With MD, one of the best experiences I had is I went out, let's see, it would have been, I believe probably four years ago. I'm sorry, bud. When Evan was prepping for the Arnold, I went out like 4 weeks before the Arnold and spent like a week and a half out in Connecticut with him.
Oh, no kidding.
And
man.
Doing a day in the life. And some of those videos were, they had the highest numbers of hits of MD at any time. Or up till that point, we just did everything. We set up a question and answer for like the week before what people wanted to know. And Evan went through and answered them. And he is such a good guy. Evan, he's a really good guy. We still talk every once in a while now. But that was probably one of my like most memorable experiences with MD, you know, was doing that. So
that would be totally awesome. I mean, me being kind of involved with, you know, the media side of bodybuilding now, and having formerly been a photographer and really enjoying that documentary stuff, man, I could just imagine how exciting that had to be for you with MD kind of taking you out to Connecticut and doing all that.
Yeah, it was neat. And it was very in depth and fans really liked it. And you couldn't ask for a more easygoing athlete. And I mean, the gym out there is amazing. That powerhouse is just, everyone's so friendly in Connecticut, man. It's just, I was amazed.
Really?
So yeah. Very nice. Very nice people out there.
So what was, run me through, like, what was a day like doing that?
So we would I was staying at a hotel. I would get up around 6. We would set up in days. So like we would film his training every day, which would vary on the times. But then one day we would go like to the fresh fish market that he goes to, and we would go to that. He had a tanning appointment the one time. We actually even went and got his blood work one time. Really? I don't know if we ended up adding that in or not.
Okay.
But for one of the days we did that. Cooking, because Evan really enjoys cooking. I told him he could have been a gourmet chef. Like one day we did cooking. We would just break it up. But every day we were getting his workouts in. So he would, we'd do the workout usually towards the evening, I believe. And then we'd do cookie in the morning. And then usually we'd be done by like 5, and then I could just kind of chill or go out and explore the town and stuff. Nothing too exciting, but, it was really neat. And he's, very easygoing, you know, and it was very nice of him to allow me to come in and meet his family and his daughters, and, which he's protective of his kids, which I totally agree with. Cause sure. There are, you know, there's always weird people out there. You got to watch them, and be protective of them. But, it was very nice. And it was, you know, these guys prepping for the shows, as I'm sure, you know, it's having some stranger follow you around constantly. And we know each other now, but he put nice and very easy to get along with.
Yeah. You know, this is something I've talked with Dave Pulcinella about, is the fact that the camera's there. It kind of, at first, the subject is very aware of it. Can you talk about how that whole dynamic works in your experience between the time where you start following somebody around? I'm sure it's very kind of mechanical at first, and over time they kind of get more comfortable. What's that all about?
Well, you know, to me, it's different for different people. And I've seen people who just film everything, I guess. And like, it's on from, you know, it seems like the whole beginning of the day till the end of the day.
Yeah.
I would, in my style personally, I would always break something up, because I feel like people, there's always going to be something, no matter what anyone says, that they don't want or may not want to talk about on film. Or even if we do, and every videographer, I'm sure, is different on this. Some people want to include stuff like that. You know, I respect these people. So if they, you know, I always give them the option. I'll be like, do you want that left in, or how do you feel about this? So I more break things up. So I guess it wouldn't be as fluent as some day in the life where people just, the video goes constantly. I would break mine up more into chunks, I guess. So we would do like the workout, and then, but I'd be shutting the camera on and off. It's not a continuous thing, but people definitely warm up as it goes. With the training videos themselves, I feel people are focused on the workout and they don't really notice it much.
Okay.
Like with the interview and where you're, you know, at someone's house watching the cook or something like that, I think it's a little more difficult for them to get used to the camera, but usually after a little while they start going with it. Okay. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when you're doing this, just out of kind of curiosity from my kind of photo nerd background, are you shooting all this on just like one camera? Do you have lights set up, or do you keep it tight? How does all that work?
You know, I wish I could say it was super fancy with the, I have a high definition, Sony camcorder, and this would have been 3 or 4 years ago. So, as you and me were talking before we started, I'm thinking about getting a second camera. We're talking about GoPros here.
Yeah.
But, I'm just used the one camera, and I do have a microphone input and a tripod to set it on, but it's very basic. It's only me. You know, I never went out with more than myself. They never sent me with 2 or 3 people or anything. All these companies try to keep costs to a minimum. So it's just usually just you and, the athlete you're working with and stuff. So it was more basic than you would think. And a lot of it goes into the editing and stuff. I had my laptop out there, so I would be editing in the evenings after we would film. I would separate everything out. And you know, it was a really good time. And sometimes you have to there's always extra footage, I feel. So you have to break things down to make everything more relevant and to fit into a certain time period.
That makes sense.
If someone's not doing something important, you don't want to add it in because you'll bore people kind of. So
I think that's the toughest part for me with editing is you got to move it fast, don't you?
People have very short attention spans, I feel, in general, and they kind of want to get to the point for the most part, and they don't want, you know, there's very few people where, like someone like maybe like a John Meadows, where people will, watch longer, because I'm sure, you know, as with having a YouTube account, you can actually track how long people watch things.
Yeah.
And what's popular, and, you know, the average usually is like someone will pay attention for the first 2 minutes, and if you don't keep them really entertained within those first 2 minutes, they're not going to keep watching. So that's usually, where about if you don't catch them with that, then they're not really interested. Or some people would, especially with like the training videos, people just want to see the conditioning someone's bringing. So they'll kind of fast forward to the end or watch the beginning, but then just skip to the posing at the end. So something like that.
I'm one of those people. I like to see the whole thing unfold and kind of get the story of it, you know, but I totally get what you mean. And I see that too. It's tricky because, just watching something, I do feel like my attention span can be shorter. If you don't catch somebody really quick, I mean, you lose them. And it's funny though,
because the people who do really like, especially with the long day in the lives.
Yeah.
You can tell the people who actually watch those, the numbers may not be as high, but they watch the entire thing. Because you can see, though, you know, if you track them, you'll see these people are watching for like 18 minutes, you know, a part of a day in the life, and they actually enjoy it. So it's the people who like those, I think they really enjoy it, and they don't mind spending more time watching it because they want to see it in their entirety.
So, kind of taking you to the opposite extreme then, you know, you had said that Evan was somebody who was really, you know, easy to work with. You got comfortable with the camera and everything. Did you find anybody at any time, and I don't want to put you on the spot here to really name names, but I kind of do, anybody that was tougher to work with, maybe that they just weren't as friendly to the camera, they weren't necessarily as comfortable with the whole idea?
And when I was working for Flex one time, Phil Heath mouthed off me before he knew I was working for Flex. I went up to him and he's like, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "I'm Jeff Zygo." And he's like, "What makes you think you can interview me?" And I was like, "I'm here with Flex Magazine, your sponsor." And then he's like, "Oh, it's so nice to meet you. I'm, of course." You know? So, yeah. That was one. I've had some run-ins with photography, where athletes, there was one athlete, he's out of Canada, and I won't say his name, but he has big calves.
Oh, I knew where you were going here. Okay.
And we had issues with the company. He was sponsored with a company, and I received a call from their head of marketing, and he's like, "You know, we have you shooting all our athletes at the Olympia, except this guy. He doesn't want to work with you. He said the work you guys did in the past was horrible." Well, I had only seen this gentleman once and had never shot him. So I explained that to the owner of the corporation, and he's like, "Well, we're going to have you come out and shoot everyone else at the Olympia, and he'll just shoot with someone else." And I was like, "That's fine." So later on the road, down the road, I confronted this person one time. He was out working with John Meadows.
Okay.
At Dave Tate's gym. And he's like, "I don't know. Maybe I said that. That sounds like something I don't think I would have said something like that." So it was kind of his roundabout way. But he apologized if that's what he had said. So
if that's what he said.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's what he said. I don't doubt it. He's known for that kind of stuff. But for the most part, people are pretty good. I mean, and pretty decent. But you do get people who can be very it's a sport with very strong personalities, I think. And yeah. And I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of vanity involved and a lot of big egos. So every once in a while, you're going to get those guys, but they are few and far between. I think for the most part, like 95 to 90% of the athletes are very good, decent people. And the pros, like Akeem Williams, you know, I worked with him. He's a great guy. There's a lot of great pros out there and stuff. It's just every once in a while, Brad Rowe, me and him started almost at the same time. We talk, you know, every once in a while still too. And we haven't shot in a few years just because our schedules keep conflicting. But he was in New York just starting off as a model.
Okay.
Before he got his pro card, and I shot him. My brother was living in Philly at the time. I actually shot him out in Jersey. And I met him when he was just starting. He was back when he was little Brad.
So wait a second. If he started about the same time you started, and I started about the same time both you started, why are my quads not the size of Brad Rose? That's
yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. His legs are just insane. Now you got crazy calves, though, Scott.
Well, thank you. But they don't count.
I remember seeing you on stage at the Michigan show, and I was like, "Holy cow!" And I remember I asked you your secret, and you said your mother. It's genetics.
Yeah, it's genetics. But you were saying, though, you met up with him back when he was first just modeling at the time.
Yeah, he was just doing sports modeling. He had not even competed at that time, I believe. He was with Silver Models out of New York.
Okay.
And a really nice guy, was down to earth. Actually, me and my friend Chris Zimmerman was in Philly. We met him in Jersey. And Chris just kind of came along for the ride. And we did a shootout there. It was real nice. And he's a really good guy. I still talk to him. Brad's really good people, so.
That's cool. So just out of curiosity then, it sounds to me like in a way you kind of fell into fitness photography and video, but at the same time, you know, watching your videos and looking at your photographs and seeing your body of work and seeing how hard you've worked, I know that it's a passion for you. Why fitness photography? I mean, there's so many different, you know, venues out there, so many different subjects you can shoot. What is it about fitness photography that draws you in?
You know what? It's a very, it just was something I fell into really. And it's a very small market, especially like in the Midwest, there's very few fitness photographers. Actually, in the United States, there's very few fitness photographers, as opposed to when you're thinking of professional photographers.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of like compared to like a wedding photographer, you know, there's millions. But, you know, being able to start off in a small town in Michigan to, you know, being one of the probably top 10 fitness photographers in the United States says something about how small an industry. You know, my work's good and everything, but it's not a big industry. And especially for not being in New York and LA, you know, there's only a few professionals in this. You know, you have like me in Michigan, and Pat Lee does some excellent work. He does much, but his work is amazing. But there's very few fitness photographers scattered around the country, kind of.
Okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. How have things changed? You know, because we talked before we started about how, you know, photography has changed so much in itself. And, you know, the whole RX thing has kind of, their whole thing has changed, the way the site works. And they're not really covering shows like they used to. MD seems to be kind of, I don't even know what they're doing, to tell you the truth. But
So I receive all the magazines in the mail for free.
Yeah.
Just from working with them over the years. I must be on some list. And I haven't even received an MD magazine in a while now. I don't even know if they're still actually producing a magazine.
Interesting.
So, you know, it has really changed, though. And it started to change at the time. And this is no offense to Men's Physique, but when the Men's Physique and Bikini started is when I saw a change in the economics of the industry, I guess. It seemed to me like as more people jumped into the industry, it kind of changed the way everything was to a certain extent. Like you had more people coming in and an influx of more people and people trying to get involved. The magazine slowly just started to have a hard time financially, I think, keeping up, because I think print in itself is dying. But there's a lot of factors too. I would just say that it's so different now. You don't need magazines or as much even the videos. It's all social media now, and so everything's through Facebook, and that's, well, the videos, and people do like that because you can use it on YouTube to advertise yourself. But like, as opposed to shooting for magazines now, I just shoot directly for athletes.
Okay.
And I can still submit to the magazines, but a lot of the magazines are really hurting right now. So they're not, you know, a lot of them are just reusing old photographs at this time and just trying to kind of reuse what they have. So it's really like, I think people have sidestepped the magazines now, and they're going directly to people, like these mega athletes like Steve Cook, or these, you know, Instagram people. Steve competes, but then you have the people who don't even compete, who just have gone their own like Instagram celebrity fitness accounts and stuff like that, where it's gone a different way now. And the industry, you know, is not for people who used to make, even me and people who used to make more of a living off it. You've had such an influx of so many people being wanting to be involved that people aren't willing to pay for the labor, because people work like these booths at the Arnold, like 90% of those people are working those booths for free.
Sure.
They just want to, you know, just want to be involved, and they're hoping it goes to a sponsorship or some kind of supplement line deal, or, and it's really changed just in the short time. Like I think if I would have been involved with it 10 years earlier, if I was born earlier, I think I would have been more set. I think I came in towards the end of it, I guess, with as far as the media parts and like these guys now, everyone's, these pros looking for big contracts. They don't exist anymore. How they used to, at least that's just my opinion too. You can disagree with me out there. I don't want anyone to be offended, but it just, for people who've been around in the industry over the years, it's definitely changing. So,
yeah, no, I think that everybody kind of sees that in a lot of aspects. You mentioned is a really big proponent of, you know, the direction things are going now. So you said you're shooting directly for athletes. So, can you talk a little bit more about that? Are some of these people just looking?
Sure. So like an athlete, most of my advertisement stuff, or I get contacts through Instagram and Facebook. And an athlete will contact me. Hopefully, you know, just for any athlete getting ready for a show, if you ever want to work with any photographer, try to give notice, you know, usually at least a month and a half in advance, just to give someone a heads up. Yeah. But we can get into that later. But so someone will contact me and say they're getting ready for a show, and they either want to do a video going into the show, or they'd like to do a photo shoot after. I find the best time to shoot athletes is the day after a show. People just seem to fill out. Some people might disagree with that. That's just my opinion. A lot of the other professional photographers I know usually shoot people the day after,
okay,
or as soon after a show as they can. I think you're depleting usually going into the shop.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to try and shoot someone, make them look their best before a show. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Scott.
I just wanted to ask too, do you don't have to be like stage condition, right, to do a shoot. You could be very close, but if you're a little bit softer, it's going to be different on the camera than on the stage, isn't it?
Yeah. Now I will say though, especially with, it depends the type of shoot you're doing. Now, if you're doing a gym shoot and the lighting is very unforgiving. So okay. If someone wants to really do a gym shoot, I found where if it's not right after, very close to the show, people will be very disappointed. Like definitely you wouldn't want to try a gym shoot like off season. Now something where it's like, if you just wanted to do more modeling shots, like, or lifestyle shots with someone outside, you know, with their shirt open or something, and you totally don't have to be ripped to shreds or anything like you do on stage, or tanned or anything. But if you know, to do the gym shoots, like most of the work I'm known for, most people seem to be most satisfied if it's like right around the show, because it's rough. I mean, it's the lighting doesn't lie. So if you don't look that way, you're not going to look any different on film.
Okay. So I should have interrupted though, because I want to go into a whole thing about, you know, setting up photography and giving people some ideas about how to go about it. But I will get to that in the future. So please carry on.
Yeah, no problem. So people will contact me and I will send them my rates and everything. And there's different packages for different editing things and options to do. And then they will contact me back and we will try and pick a date that just works good for both of us. Like I said, I always try to usually do the day after a show. You know, usually I'll probably the most I ever set up the day after a show, like here in Michigan, would be like 2 to 3 people, usually around 2, because it's a lot of work and everything. And then, we'll shoot, and then I send them the proofs through a Dropbox and let them look through and pick out the shots they like. And if there's anything I would like to edit or I think, you know, might be good for publication, then I will edit everything on my own too. Right on. And then they receive the discs like 2 weeks later or something. So
nice. Nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing that you and I had talked about before this is that people that are out there that are looking for photographers, there are very good photographers, you know, people like yourself. There's also kind of like a whole seedy side of bodybuilding. And there's people that are looking to take advantage of athletes, both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
How can we help people avoid getting taken advantage of? What should they look for in a photographer before they find themselves, you know, setting up a shoot?
Yeah, I would definitely suggest doing your research. Look at, I find a lot of people, it's funny, a lot of people just post like looking for a photographer on Facebook. You know, anyone know a fitness photographer? Because I get tagged in those all the time. You really like want to do your research about a photographer. You should be able to see his body of work or her work. Look at their publications. Have they been published? What are they best known for? By seeing their work, is, you know, this something, if you're a school teacher and this person dabbles in more, let's say, racy shots, then, you know, you're not going to want to shoot with them. Mm. You know, or if there are a lot of, some photographers, I've never done it, but someone will do, even tastefully, will do like nudes and things like that. So if that's something, if you see that in their portfolio and that's not something you're interested in, then that's probably not the person for you. All that's always asked, any photographer should be willing to show you a big example of his or her work and publications. They should be able to show you what publications they've been published in and have references for you if you request them. Always another thing I would say is to talk to the person ahead of time. Don't be worried if you want to bring someone with you. I think if you're a good photographer, you should have no problem with someone bringing someone with them.
Yeah.
A friend of mine here in Michigan, his girlfriend was going to shoot with a gentleman on the west side of the state. And he said, absolutely, her boyfriend was not allowed to come.
Whoa.
To me, that's red flags. Yeah. Like there's no, if someone wants to bring their whole family, that's fine. I don't care. You know, they can sit on the side, but, you just don't, there's no reason you want to be alone with someone and have no one else around. either way, whether it be a man or a woman, if you want to bring a friend, there's no problem with that. Usually they end up helping out or, holding a light possibly or something.
Nice.
But it is, there's a lot of shady people, and people will make false statements about themselves. So, and you'll see a lot of people say on Instagram or on Facebook, you know, published photographer. Well, that's a very blanket statement. So find out what and how they are, you know, and if they really are, because people use it to their advantage. There's just a lot of weird, creepy people out there. And there's a lot of great photographers too. You know, I get people call me asking about other photographers and I will give them recommendations. Like, you know, I've had a few athletes say, hey, you know, Pat Lee, and, you know, just cause he's close here in Chicago, I'm in Michigan. I'm like, Pat's a great guy. We've shot a lot of shows together. He would do stage shots or video shots. And I'm like, yeah, he's a great guy. You know, he does amazing work, and, there's nothing, you know, go for it, you know? So ask around and do your research. As far as like the process of the shoot, things you should do, always be on time. like a photographer, usually when we're getting ready for a shoot, I usually arrive an hour and a half to 2 hours early.
Really?
So if I tell you to be there at 10, that means I've been there since 8.
Hmm.
And I set up ahead of time, unwrap all the extension cords, plug everything in, make sure everything's functioning, check all the equipment, clean it, you know, set areas aside in the gym and plan ahead where I'm going to be shooting. And then you want to be ready to go. I would always suggest someone being half an hour early, you know, for a shoot. So you have time to, a lot of guys or girls will eat something to try and fill out, and then you'll want time to pump up and kind of warm up. So always try and be on time. That's the biggest thing I guess I've had issues with athletes is being late. Mm. You always want to be on time, and because they think you just got there, but I'm like, no, I've been here 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing is a lot of photographers, and I started doing this too, taking deposits, because especially big shows like North America's is something, if you're going to cancel, you can't do that last minute. Mm. You know, if someone cancels on you, because they didn't like their placing, then someone else just lost out on an opportunity, because I'll turn people away. So you never want to cancel on a photographer. Just at least give them 24 hours notice, or if you can do more, even more is better. You know, other than that, there's the shoot itself is pretty easy. You should be comfortable with anything you do. If there's something you're not comfortable doing, then definitely speak up about it. You know, the normal process would be you would warm up. You'd probably eat something to fill out a little bit, then warm up, pump up. Then most photographers bring their own. It's funny. So my first shoot, Joey Swallow said the photographer always brings the gel and the since then I've always supplied. Usually the photographer has his own like baby gel or kind of muscle sheen.
Wow.
And then you would use that and put that on, and then
so let me
you
ask
start
you,
into the shoot.
Did you not have any with you the day you shot Joey
that
Swole?
First time, you know, he actually brought it that first time. Because I wasn't even planning on shooting a person that time. So yeah. He actually had muscle sheen with him. I'm not sure what it was, but I remember I was shocked during just a little side note during that shoot. I was like, right before we started shooting, he pulled out a honey bear like you see people base turkeys in.
Oh, yeah.
And he downed an entire honey bear in front
of me. Holy cow.
And I was like, are you okay, man? Are you a diabetic? What's going on? He's like, oh, no, this will just get the veins popping. And I was like, you know, I knew nothing at that time about the physiology or the industry or anything. So I was like, what is this guy doing? I mean, the whole bear.
That's a lot of honey, man.
It worked. It worked, bud. But I was like, holy cow. I mean, the veins came out everywhere and he looked great. But I was like, wow, I just had never seen that. And I didn't know what he was doing. It just took me off guard.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny, man. I see all the guys backstage. I think the younger guys, they're so into their candies and stuff. They know all about that end of things. They've got their sweet tarts lined up next to their Sour Patch Kids and everything else.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, everyone uses something different. I've heard everything from like the fillings of pecan pies to, you know, I had a guy in Wisconsin who only uses Sweetest Fish, you know, as his candy that he uses before shoots. So it varies. But you know, those are the things. So basically that I would tell people to be worried about. If someone says, no, I want to shoot you alone, or I need complete privacy, you know, that's unusual. And you should need that. Know ahead of time where you're going, and discuss what you're looking for with the photographer. A good photographer, I'll talk to people ahead of time, and you know, whether we're doing a gym shoot or a lifestyle shoot, what are your expectations? And don't feel bad about explaining that to a photographer. That's you're paying for the shoot, so they should do what you want too. If a photographer goes off on you and be like, well, this is my shoot, I do what I want, then he's not the right fit for you, and it doesn't sound like he's a very friendly person anyway, or she is not. So you know, it's still, they're working for you no matter what type of professional or what level they're at. So you should feel comfortable with the entire shoot. So
that makes total sense. I think good communication and all aspects of, you know, life and work and everything, that's just like number one. So I think those are all really good points. Just out of curiosity, when you're working with somebody like Kai Greene or Phil Heath and you're doing a photo shoot, how long does a photo shoot usually take in those situations?
Well, you know, it's different. Photographers are different. Some photographers will do a shoot and they will end up with like, I don't know, 80 photos from a shoot. So I was more of the fact where I'm more of a shooter where with a typical shoot, I would say would last about 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
It could be longer if a company wants, they send you a certain list of shots they want done, then you have to do those shots. I've had them last up to 8 hours. So it just really depends on what, if it's for a magazine, it can be longer. If it's for an individual, you know, usually I would say they last 2 to 3 hours. But for the magazines, like with those pros, it was always for magazines and things. So it would be what shots they wanted. And they actually give you like a call list, basically. Hmm. And you just check off what motions they wanted the person doing. Or they, depending on the magazine, someone would say, we just want a bunch of arm shots, you know, like our arm movements. So do that. And then you would just have the option of doing that on your own. Okay. So, yeah.
So I take it in most situations when you're doing a gym type shoot like that, that's lasting several hours, this is where the fake plates come into play, because I've heard about this. It's something I've never experienced with, but they have. Is this true? There are plates that weigh less than they're actually supposed to, just because,
you know. So when I started, there were no fake plates, and I looked. Really? I contacted movie studios and everything too, and I could not. I found people who would be willing to make them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were going to, it was going to be super expensive for just to make these fake plates. So to me, it wasn't worth it personally. And, the photographers just have enough equipment. So to my knowledge, there's no photographer that I know of that has ever traveled with fake plates, like to the Olympia or anything.
Wow.
I've never used them in any of my shoots.
Really?
But I have never pushed an athlete at all, because I'm always worried too. A good photographer should be worried about the athlete's health, and yeah, the day after a show, you're run down, your ligaments are dehydrated, and you don't want someone to tear something. So I always tell people, do what you feel comfortable with, whether you're a pro or not. I know there are photographers out there who want those extreme heavy shots, and they want, you know, screaming faces and stuff. Well, and that's great, but to me, it was never worth it if you're going to hurt someone.
Yeah.
And it's not powerlifting, so. And you're to ask someone to do something crazy like that, you're at your most vulnerable. So yeah, it's just, it was always scary to me. These aren't off season shoots, which would be different. So I never went with crazy amounts of weight, really. Some of the guys are just inherently crazy strong. I remember Keem Williams, like, it was the day after he won North America as the overall, and we were shooting, and I wanted to do tricep extensions over the head.
Okay.
And he pulled out, and he used 2 hours, but he pulled out like a 200-pound dumbbell and just started pumping them out. And I'm like, I turned around. I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing, man? He's like, well, you said you wanted this. I'm like, it doesn't have to be that much weight. I was like, and he made it look so easy. I was like, my God, it was insane.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, crazy strong guy. But, yeah, I've never used fake plates. I do hear, you know, I've heard a lot of the controversy with these guys on YouTube now using them a lot. The only place I'd ever heard where a lot of photographers are using them was, I remember, actually Adam Lamb was one of them, but a lot of the Michigan guys that were sponsored by Muscle Tech said they had all the fake weights up there, I know, for shoots and stuff.
Okay.
It's not to say, if I, like I said, I looked into it. When I started, you could not find them. There is a company, one company now, I Googled it a few weeks ago, actually, because I was curious, that is selling them now. But at the time when I started, you did not have that option.
Interesting. Because I've just had been under the impression that at this point it was like an industry standard almost.
No. Like I said, no one, when you're dragging all this equipment and like coming from Michigan to Nevada for the Olympia, and you have enough bags as is, and it's just not something you would want to drag unless you had to. Yeah. So no, to my knowledge, I don't know any photographers in the field that ever traveled with fake weights. The only time I ever heard about fake weights being used was at Muscle Tech.
Okay.
A lot of the big photographer, big name guys. So, I mean, I see these guys shooting the Arnold. I'm friends with Gregory James, who has worked for MD also. And, he worked for Muscle Mag for years. Now he has his own company. He's out of Florida. Greg's never, to my knowledge, used fake plates or anything in any of his shoots. Per Bernal, you know, Bill Comstock, a lot of these great photographers who none of them have ever used fake plates, to my knowledge. But I'm they're out there, I'm sure. So,
yeah.
But yeah, not, I never did. So,
well, that's cool to hear. I think there's probably a few people out there that, are surprised by that. Cause I had heard that's just the way things had gone. That was the direction things went. And man, it would make sense to me if you're doing a shoot that's lasting like 4 hours, or you said at times 8 hours, that's a long time, especially right after a contest. But
yeah, you got to think though, some of that time, so every time you take a picture, it's once you finish, like say you're shooting someone doing spider curls,
okay,
and you're doing an arm workout. Well, then after you finish that exercise, it takes like up to 20 minutes to reposition the lights.
Oh, okay.
And depending on the gym, you have to move, you know, in Vegas, sometimes that was you'd have to go up and down stairs, like move all your equipment, you know, with elevators and stuff. So you're not constantly lifting weights during that entire time. In fact, the more difficult part is for these guys to keep pumped up and keep looking insane, because it's almost like an on and off thing, because they have to, you know, they sit for 20 minutes in between. Now, again, those are the more big magazine shoots. Like if I'm working with an athlete on my own, it's not going to take that long because it's just me and stuff. And we're not
sure.
You don't need to hit so many things, but when they were looking for particular things, it could last a while, but like I said, it's not, I'm sure it's tiring on the athlete, but the main thing is trying to make them stay full and not flatten out or spill, you know, depending on that instant too. But it's time consuming. I feel bad for the guys. They're tired, exhausted. And for the main part though, I would say shoots are pretty fast too. I've seen shoots. I never had any that quick, but I've seen MD shoot people within 45 minutes too.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Where they just have them for a few things and, they'll have two athletes. Maybe they both had prior engagements too with their supplement companies, but where like guys will come at the Arnold, they'll shoot them and I'll be looking over and they're gone, you know, and I'm still working on the same guys. So it just depends what they're looking for, really.
Interesting. So, you know, we talked a little bit about social media and, you know, the new venues that have kind of come up for photography and videography. Tell me about your YouTube channel. I've seen some really cool stuff and I've seen that you've still shot some of the local Michigan guys that are coming up. Really cool videos there.
Yeah. So what happened is, as the magazine started to lose funding more and more, MD, Flex, and RX also, I still wanted to try and help these guys. And I was like, you know what? Why am I doing this? I should have from the beginning. I'm like, it was great doing it for the companies, but I can do this on my own. I have the equipment. So I started doing, I've worked with a lot of pros now also, and with just amateur athletes, just they contact me and we'll go out and film a workout. Some guys I've done some day in the life stuff with also. But yeah, it's my YouTube channel is Jeff Symi. It's my name, Jeff, and S-Y-M-I. And you can Google it and find it and stuff. And I have over like 200 videos and pretty standard videos for the most part. There are some, like I said, day in the life things where it's cooking and stuff outside the gym. But for the most part, they're just real informative gym videos where I'll show the athlete working out and stuff and have them go through the workouts and explain the different movements and stuff. And it's amazing what these amateur guys, I mean, some of these guys have really interesting things that I've never seen in a pro workout. So you can really learn a lot from amateur people also. It's not like the pros have all the information. There's always new things coming out. And some people really know their stuff. It's interesting what guys do. And I'll never stop being amazed at stuff people come up with, you know, to try and do. So
that's cool. And yeah, I think that's what I like about those videos the most. This isn't just video with like a music track playing to it. It's you talking to the guys overdubbed while they're training and asking them about, you know, what they're doing and asking them about their nutrition and stuff like that. So, you know, some of the stuff isn't even directly related to the exercise, but I'm learning by watching them and I'm learning by listening as well.
Yeah. And some people, it's not their cup of tea. Like I said, some people like the motivational, the real hardcore, you know, videos with Rocky music or quotes playing in the background.
Yeah.
People throwing around 200-pound dumbbells or leg pressing 2,000 pounds. And there's nothing wrong with those videos. They're fine, too. It's just not something I've dabbled in as much. Most people I've worked with, I've had a few clients who that's what they've wanted. We've done that. But for the most part, mine are more, I would guess, educational, you know, and not that these guys aren't working hard and aren't motivating, but it's just, you know, more talking about what they're doing and why they do what they do. And how a lot of these guys, some of them I've worked with, like Jordan Janowitz, he's probably filmed over 13 times now. Really? And it's how he's, you know, like brought up his back or something and talk what differences has he done or since working with his new coach, how has his diet changed or whatever. So it's different stuff like that. It can be very enlightening for people, I think.
You, speaking of Jordan, I just saw him when I was out there at the Western. He guest posed there. He mentioned that he had just shot with you just before that. That was that weekend that you worked with him?
I was actually out there at the, I was in Grand Rapids that day, actually, that he guest posed.
Okay.
Originally, we had talked about doing a day in the life thing with him that day, and I was going to film his guest posing possibly
bummer,
that night.
That would have been so cool.
You know, I had thought about it, and he was so, we did a workout, and it went really well and stuff, and, but by the time we had filmed the training video and done the interviews and everything, he was so tired and so dead, and there was such a gap in between, it would have been like, because I finished by like 2,
okay.
It would have been a huge gap, and he was exhausted, you know, and I told him, just rest up, go chill for a little bit, and just do your posing, and you know, do your thing. So I could have, but I didn't want to. I talk about guys hurting those last few weeks. He looks amazing, but he is hurting right now. I mean, he is really feeling it, and he's busting butt to try and keep going. And I didn't want to pester him any more than I had to, I guess. So.
Yeah, he said he had a heck of a pump while he was training with you. So, and I saw him backstage after he had gotten sprayed and everything. He ended up pumping up once again, man. He's like, I don't know if I'll be able to pump up as good as I did this afternoon, but he certainly did, man. He looked nuts and yeah. Everything's in, you know, his glutes are already in. He's looking hard, man. I would you say that this is the best that you've seen him?
Oh, he is by far. It's the biggest, and the most leanest I've ever seen him. I think he's right around 215.
Okay.
Last I'd heard. And, his glutes are in and he's just looking incredible right now. He really is. You know, I really hope for him. You never know who will show up and you never know what all is going to happen, but right. It's the best he looks. You know, I'm not going to say he's a guaranteed win for a pro card, but he's, you know, for him. And what I always tell people, as long as you keep improving, and this is the, by far the best he's ever looked. Now this was his first, prep and off season. This past off season, he worked with Matt Porter,
right?
And he's done an amazing job with him, and he is just blowing up, really. And his parts that were lacking, like his back had been an issue in the past, he's brought up, and he's always had freaky legs and things. But I think his arms came up some, and his delts just blew up this year too. I think he's going to do well. I always wish they used to make fun of me at the big shows, like at North America's and USA's and stuff, because I would always cheer on the Michigan people.
Yeah, really.
And their photographers like Dan Ray and Jeff Binns would always be like, really? You know, and I always felt pride. I'm like, I know them. These are, you know, it's my state. You know, when I saw our guys on stage, I felt, you know, that made me feel good. So anyone going down there from Michigan, I wish them luck and everything, but I really hope Jordan does well too. But it's good. I think, it's good for people in Michigan to see our guys turning pro. And I think the more pros we have or the better everyone does, the better it makes the state look. And I think it's just all around good. There's no negative to it at all. So
I agree.
I always wish everyone the best of luck.
I agree. And you know, these guys are super inspirational too, I think, to people outside of the state, because I came up watching, you know, these local guys on RX that you were filming. And to me, I felt that kinship because we're all from Detroit or, you know, the Michigan area. But I've always sensed though, that it's bigger than that, you know, that it reaches to all the guys out there that are striving to be their best. You know, I think they can all be inspired by watching other people that are in a position that they're close to, or maybe a little bit beyond them, you know, or a guy like Jordan, who I remember Jordan when, I remember when he was smaller than me, you know, when he first got started. And I mean, he's taken it so far now. So it's such an inspiration to see, you know, people progress like that. And I think it's great, man. And it's important for bodybuilding as a sport that we have people like you that are here to document that. Because if you guys weren't here, if we didn't have people documenting what was going on, even this radio show, I guess, then what is the history of the sport? These are the things that we will look back on, you know?
Yeah. And whether you're going to be no matter who you are, if you're going to be a Miss, you know, not everyone's going to be a Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're not an excellent bodybuilder, an excellent bikini competitor or figure or men's physique or classic. And for these guys, you know, the videos or the radio shows you're doing too, they'll be there forever, you know, and as magazines, I hate to say it, and I know some people out there may disagree, but I think magazines are going to die off, especially in the fitness industry. When you have magazines like Time Magazine, and I get Entertainment Weekly personally, I'm a big movie buff. And,
really?
And those magazines are hurting. So, and when you think how small the fitness industry is compared to those, or the magazine fitness industry is compared to those mainstream magazines, I mean, and they're hurting. I would think the fitness magazines are going to phase out more and more. And then, and if they are, even if they're not in print, maybe there might be a few who go digital, but you're not going to be able to be remembered that way. So you got to kind of cover yourself in a different way, whether it be through a photo shoot or videos or like the radio, you know, that's, you know, this is great for Michigan people too. And you work, well, you interview people from all over, but it's nice to have someone doing this from Michigan too. It's just nice that, you can help and reach athletes and help people like that. I mean, that's great.
We've got a great community. I think that that's part of what you're saying too, man. I think it's awesome that you're promoting it. Can you tell everybody just all the different places where they can reach out to you, how they can get a hold of you if they want to do some type of a video shoot or a photo shoot, how they can get a hold of you on social media, and as well as plug your YouTube and your website again, please.
Yeah, you know, so I'm on Facebook. It's just my name, Jeff Sygo, J-E-F-F-S-Y-G-O. I have a business page, which is my company, SyMi Photography. It's S-Y-M-I Photography. You can contact me on there also. I'm on Instagram. At the time when I set up my Instagram, so I didn't know the name, the username was public.
Okay.
So it's Jeff Photographer Master, one long word. And I totally did not know that was going to be public. I should go in and change that. But so that's, I'm on Instagram there. You can pretty much Google me though, and it comes up basically ways to contact me. You know, I've never had a problem with this, but my phone number is actually on my banner.
Okay.
On my web pages and stuff, and my emails on there and stuff. I've never had any issues with prank calls or weird calls or
until
anything.
Until now.
Yeah, maybe now I will. But everyone's always been very professional and stuff. So, I mean, there's all those different ways to contact me. And if you're interested in a shoot or video, definitely hit me up. For your Michigan audience that's listening, bud, I just want to say, Scott, also, you know, love to see you there if you want to come. We haven't set the date here. Yeah, but every year since we started like 8 years ago doing the Michigan Gathering, which is once a year where it's just the competitors and people want to come out. You don't have to compete if we just do a big group workout and then we take a huge group picture. So we started at Highland Park Powerhouse like 8 years ago, and we've been doing it at Fenton Powerhouse now for a few years. We haven't set the date. Usually it's like the second or third week in December, but that'll be coming out for Michigan people if they want to come. You know, it's just kind of a bonding thing. And it's such a, sometimes it, people fall into the competitiveness and they make it kind of like a, there's not a lot of brotherhood, I guess, in the sport or, and this is good, I feel, for Michigan people to come together and, you know, together, if we support each other, I think the state can only do better. So that's kind of why I started doing this years ago.
That's cool. I remember the first one. I had to work on Saturdays at the time, so I was
to go. I'm sorry, man.
But my coach and his friend, my coach Rick Wetmore and his friend Erskine Presley were like two of the 10 people that showed up for the first one, and it's only growing since then. I mean, it's like 100 people there now.
Yeah, last year I think we had like 103 or something. It's totally grown, and we started, you're right, it was like 10 or 11 of us. And we actually had to, we kind of outgrew Highland Powerhouse, and that's how we ended up in Fenton. It's a huge facility. There's a lot of great gyms. We might eventually try moving it around to different areas of the state, but Fenton's pretty well centrally located. You know, I'm up in Saginaw, but a lot of guys are in Detroit, and then we get people from the west side of the state, so it's fun. And it's just, usually we try to go out to lunch afterwards. Everyone kind of, if we can't fit at one place, we'll go their separate way, but it's a good time. It's really fun.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to make mention of that on the Advices social media and stuff when that gets closer. For everybody out there, I'm going to have Jeff tagged in all of our posts. So if you go to the Advices Radio Facebook page, you can click on him there. And of course we'll have him tagged later when we put the Instagram post up too. So, man, this has been a lot of fun. Like I said, Jeff, I've watched you grow and evolve as a photographer and as a business person and as a creative mind over the last decade. And it's been really awesome to see. I'm really grateful to have had the opportunity to sit down and talk to you today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And thank you so much for letting me come on and talk to your people and stuff and get the word out there of, you know, about how I got started and stuff. It's very nice. And, you know, I wish you all the success, but it was great. I remember when I first met you, I was so enthralled with you because you told me you were a National Geographic photographer at one time.
Well, I didn't know. That's a stretch. That is not true. I worked with them. I did not shoot for them.
Well, to work with them, though, at the time when I was starting was just amazing. So
yeah, it was a good time, man. And photography was a passion of mine for a long period of my life. It's not... as much of a drive for me now as bodybuilding is in various facets between bodybuilding media and coaching and seeing what I can do with my own physique. But I still have a passion for it, and I love seeing what other people are doing with it. So it makes me feel good to see someone like you taking the reins.
Well, thanks very much, bud. And I really do appreciate you having me on, but I hope all goes well for you. And now you're shutting it down for the year now, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm officially in off season as of Sunday, and I couldn't be happier. Of course, I got sick now, like right afterwards. So I made it through a 10-month diet without getting sick once. So I guess it all had to catch up with me. Well, guys, I am going to go eat something that is not as clean as it was a week ago. Not that I don't have to. Jeff, really, man, I appreciate you being here. For Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally. This has been episode number 51 with Jeff Seigel.
Advices Radio Network.